I really don't care what you think about it, and I don't care what you think about this statement. It is true. Everyone wants a Troy and Gabriella relationship. You do. I mean, you do. You want a Troy and Gabriella fairy tale. You want to go on vacation. Some of my small group guys were in Colorado skiing over spring break. I know each of them secretly hoped that there was a karaoke competition on that mountain where they could sing a duet with a cute girl and that they would come back to Dallas and she would have transferred here and be in their class first period. And then they'd get their cell phones taken away and the rest is movie history. Right? Oh, I know it. You shut your mouth. Here's how I know it, though. Here's how I know that everyone desires that is because we have a God-given desire for companionship and for romance. From the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 says this. God looked down at his creation of man and he said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make him a helper, a companion." And then after he made Eve and put them together, he said, "It is very good. It is very good." God has hardwired us with that desire. But we talked last week about there being some obstacles to that romance for you who are in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And I'm going to tell you one more this morning is this. There's no such thing as a rooftop garden, right? Like, I've never been on a rooftop garden like that. And I've got a great romance with my wife, Allie, but we have never on any sort of roof done a choreographed dance. And saying to each other throughout. It's never started raining at a perfect moment. We've never almost kissed and a bell has rung. Like, that is not real. That is a movie. And so we have this God-given desire, and then we see movies and television shows, and we hear songs and stories that people tell, and then we think that it's going to be or supposed to be, or we long for it to be that way. And so the reason why we're doing this series is to clear a little bit of that up and to talk to you about godly romance, because God is the one who created it. And so we're going to try to follow his blueprint. And last week, if you weren't here, I don't know that I've ever told you guys to do this, but if you weren't here, you should go online to morewake.com and check out Click Curriculum and listen to the audio from last week, because we talked about who finds godly romance. And this week, we're going to talk about when. So you're here for a great week, because a lot of you guys have conflict with your parents. You know, when is the right age to start dating? Everybody else is doing it, and I want to do it. When is the right time to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? We're going to address that by looking at a story from the scriptures of a beautiful romance. And it's from Genesis chapter 24. And I want to tell a story that goes through the whole chapter. And I want you to go home and read it, but I'm not going to bore you and just read to you out loud an entire chapter of the Bible. Instead, I want to act it out. But I need some of you to help me. I believe I have about 8 roles here that need to be filled. I need an Abraham. I want somebody that can act. Glasses, yes. All right. I need an Isaac. Chris, come on. I need a servant. No. I need a guy to be the servant. Yeah, blonde hair. Yeah, that's you. You got blonde hair. I need 2 camels. All right, you guys can be camels. Wait. Hey, stop. You've already been up here today. You can be a camel. You can be a camel. I like your jacket. All right. I need a Rebecca. Who's going to be a girl? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, come on, Rebecca. All right, this is a man, Laban, a guy named Laban. I'll take you, Laban. And this is a guy's name, Bethuel. Orange shirt, come on. There we go. All right, now, I'm going to give each of you a script. You know who your name is? You remember who you are? All right, so there's your script. There you go. Do you watch for your part? I'm going to narrate. And then whenever it comes to your line, you're going to say your line. So I want everybody to go off stage over here on the side. Go over here off to the side of the stage. Jason's going to have a microphone off to the side of the stage,
please. Off stage.
Jason is going to have a microphone that he will bring up and put in your face. Don't say your line until the microphone is in your face. All right? Let's get Abraham up here on stage. Right here. Abraham?
You'll know.
Jason, come on up with Abraham. This is a story from Genesis chapter 24. Have a seat, buddy. There we go. Anything that I say, actors, listen. Anything that I say, you need to act out. All right? If I say you say something in a certain way, you say it in that way. If I say you do a certain action, you do a certain action. Here we go. Abraham was an old man. Okay. And he spoke to his chief surgeon, servant. Chief servant? Who's the servant? Come on up here so he can speak to you. This servant was the one in charge of everything he had. And he said in his old man voice,
"Put your hand on my thigh."
Wait. Say it again in a more understandable old man voice.
"Put your hand on my thigh."
It's not on my thigh. Read it correctly.
Under my thigh.
All right, so go ahead.
The chief servant put his hand under Abraham's thigh.
Like, kind of under, like that.
Yeah. It's from the Bible, man.
Just a little, you don't have to go so high. Just go like, no. Like, get under there.
There you go.
Lift your leg up a little bit for him. There you go.
Then Abraham said, the way old men say,
"Promised me that you will go to the land of my birth."
Does Abraham have throat cancer?
I think he just needs like a spittoon or something.
You just need a lozenge.
Promise.
A good gargle. Hang on. Start your sentence over.
Promise me that you will go to the land of my birth and get a wife for my son Isaac.
The servant questioned,
"What if I can't get anyone to leave their home and come back with me?"
Abraham said,
"God will send his angel ahead of you to get a wife for my son."
So the servant said,
"Okay."
Wait.
Servant, you stay there. Then the servant took his master's camels. Camels, come out. Kneel in the center of the stage. Abraham, we're going to move you over so they have room for action. Servant, right here. Right here by him. Camels, come on. The servant took his master's camels and loaded them with gifts.
Put gifts on them.
And traveled to Abraham's hometown, riding on one of the camels. The hometown is that way. "Wait, camel. Obey your master." Maybe he rode side saddle on the camel.
All right, just sit.
Just sit down like a normal chair. Side saddle. There you go. Now transport him, camels. And stop. That's good, camels. Outside the city, he made the camels kneel down at the well.
Tell them to kneel down.
Then he prayed this prayer.
"Oh God, make things go smoothly. Show me the woman you have picked to marry Isaac. I'm going to ask these women for water. When someone offers to give water to the camels too, I'm going to think that she's the one. Cool?"
Just when he finished praying, Rebecca came out with a water jug on her shoulder. Now, you can just stay over there on that side. I don't know why you're
like
visiting Abraham. The girl was stunningly beautiful. There you go. Always face the audience here, Rebecca.
Cheat down a little bit.
She seemed pure and innocent. She went to the well and filled her jug. The servant ran swiftly to meet her. Rewind that back and let's try it again.
Like, start at that X and run really fast.
The servant ran swiftly to meet her and said,
"Excuse me, may I please have some water?"
She said,
"Why, certainly."
And she held the jug so that he could drink. When he had satisfied his thirst, she shouted,
"I'll get water for your camels, too."
She shouted. Try that again. She shouted.
Oh, wait.
No, say it again.
Same line. You didn't shout.
I'll get water for your camels, too.
She kept refilling her jug until all the camels were full. So take water to the camels.
Y'all drink the water, camels.
The servant was kind of tired and kind of lazy, so he just watched her run back and forth carrying water. As he watched, his eyes got really big. Because he realized that God had answered his prayer and that she was the one for Isaac. When the camels had finished drinking, the servant started giving her really cool gifts, like nose rings and bracelets. He kept saying,
"You're the answer to my prayers. You're the answer to my prayers. You're the answer to my prayers."
Over and over.
Keep saying it.
You're the answer to my prayers. You're the answer.
Say it like six more times.
You're the answer to my prayers. You're the answer to my prayers. You're the answer to my prayers.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
Rebecca had a brother named Laban. And Laban walked up and saw her wearing the nose ring and the bracelets. And he said in a confused and kind of jealous way,
"Where did you get those?"
Confused?
Where did you get those?
From that guy over there. He said I was the answer to his prayers.
Laban shouted,
"I need to talk to this dude."
Laban shouted,
"I need to talk to this dude."
There we go. I mean, that's your sister, and this dude's giving her nose rings, right? Okay. He went over and said to him,
"Why don't you come over to our house for dinner? We need to talk."
Maybe he was a little more intimidating with that. Try it again. Same line.
"Why don't you come over to our house? We need to talk."
The servant said,
"That's cool, but I won't eat until I tell my story."
Laban said in a tough, overprotective, big brother kind of way,
"Let me get my dad and you can tell us both."
That is as tough as you can...
Tougher.
"Let me get my dad and I can tell... and you can tell us both."
Okay, that's better. Laban went and got the Bethuel.
How's Isaac?
Bethuel said,
"Sup."
Trying to sound younger and cooler than he really was. The servant told him the whole story, starting with his hand under Abraham's thigh. And he told the story. After he told the story, Laban and Bethuel said in unison, all right, get next to each other, microphone, there we go.
This is totally from God. Rebecca is yours. Take her and go let her marry your master's son, Isaac. It's clearly God's plan.
The servant was surprised. He looked surprised. Not like you're on drugs, just surprised. Where am I? Okay, hang on. The servant looked surprised at how easy his mission had become, and he said,
"Really? Okay, peace out."
Laban realized how quickly everything was happening and said,
"Can't you stay around a few days to pack?"
They waved Rebecca over and said to her,
"Honey, do you want to go with this man?"
She said,
"I'm ready to go."
So the servant put Rebecca on one of his camels.
Go physically put her.
The servant put Rebecca on one of the camels. Turn around, camels. You're going the wrong way. Turn around, camels. And the servant put her... Okay. Servant put on...
Why is this camel so much overworked?
And he took her off to introduce her to her future husband, Isaac. All right, Isaac needs to be over here with Abraham. Come on over. Wait, stop. Hold, go slower. Isaac, run over here to Abraham. You're over here. Just run over here, Isaac. Hurry. Camels, get back. Back up, camels. Stand right here. There we go. All right. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, Isaac was out in the fields thinking about God's plan for his life. Good. When he looked up and saw the camels coming, wondering if they were bringing his bride, he ran in slow motion to meet them. When Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac, she got down from her camel, go really slow, and asked the servant, microphone.
Sorry.
Who is that man out in the field coming toward us?
In his most dramatic voice, the servant said,
"That's Isaac."
She was good. She ran in slow motion too. And when they first met, they held hands and spun around in slow motion. After spinning for a while and recovering from the dizziness, they went back to Abraham's house and got married.
You may kiss the bride.
And the pastor said, "You may kiss." No, I'm just kidding. And they lived happily ever after. Let's hear it for our actors, everybody. You guys can take a seat. You can keep the scripts if you want them.
Yeah, you keep it forever.
Way to go, guys. Way to go, Isaac. All right, so you get the story. This is how it worked back then. Abraham decides it's time for his son Isaac to get married, so he sends a servant back to his hometown, as was the tradition, is to marry someone from your hometown. And he says, "Go find her." "How do I find her?" "God will bring her to you." Servant goes, he prays, he says, "All right, let the person that not only gives me water, but then just volunteers and gives water to the camels, let that be the one, a woman who is a servant." And so he goes and he prays and he finds Rebecca, and then he goes to the house and tells the whole story. And the family's like, "Well, let's take some time to think about it." But Rebecca could tell God was in the middle of it. And she said, "No, I'm ready to go. Let's do this." And so she leaves. Isaac's out in the field. He sees his bride coming. And he runs to her. And they live happily ever after. When? It's a good story. Go read Genesis. Go read Genesis 24. It's a fantastic love story, and I think it beats Troy and Gabriella. You want to know why? You want to know why? Because it's real. It's a real, true story, and God was in it. That's right. So when did Isaac find godly romance? That's the question. This is the when of godly romance. I'm going to tell you four things. Number one, here's when Isaac and Rebecca found godly romance. When both of their parents approved of the relationship. When her parents and his parents were on board with the relationship. That's when godly romance was found. Number two, when caring friends approved of the relationship. You had Isaac's friend, his father's servant, traveling. Finding the right person. She had her brother and her father and her friends who gathered at her house for that dinner. They all approved and allowed her to leave. They didn't restrain her and say, "No, you stay here. This is crazy." They approved. Thirdly, when God was the clear leader of the relationship. God was in the middle of it from beginning to end. His presence was woven throughout. And he led it, he orchestrated it, he put it together. And fourth, when they were ready to commit to the relationship. Rebecca didn't stand over here and say, Isaac, who? Let me go look at his profile. He's got some weird profile pictures, but he looks cute, he looks fun. Oh, he went to that concert, I like that music. Well, let's text for a while, and then maybe we'll date. And let's have a long engagement just to be sure. No, they were ready to commit. So they found godly romance when both parents approved of the relationship, when caring friends approved of it, when God was the clear leader of it, and when they were ready to actually make a commitment. Because then their romance could be fulfilled. They didn't have a string of 6 month, 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 3 week, whatever it is, relationships that formed and were really exciting and then broken and crushed. You see, that's what you don't get to see in High School Musical. which is what is real in real high schools, is a lot of tears, a lot of anger, a lot of gossip, a lot of hurt feelings, a lot of confusion, a lot of low self-esteem, a lot of cutting, a lot of drinking, a lot of sex to make yourself feel better. That's what you don't see in High School Musical. But that's what happens when you don't wait for these wins. When you decide when, on your own, without God's input and following His guidance from His Word and trusting that He's given you parents, that He's given you wise friends in your small group leaders and your small groups, without seeking Him at every step of the relationship, without covering any relationship you have with prayer from beginning to end. Let me tell you this, you won't. You might, but you have a better chance of not messing up on a date if on your way to that date you are praying. And throughout the date you are praying. Not like with each other, like sitting down before the movie, like, Lord, help us have a good movie at this movie. But that you, in your heart you're saying, God, I want you to be the leader of whatever's going on tonight at this dance, or whatever's going on tonight on this date, whatever's going on while I'm laying here in my bed sending text messages to this girl. I want you to be the clear leader of it. And then lastly, you know, that's why people get hurt in junior high and high school, is they're not ready to make a commitment. Nobody's getting married when they're your age. If they are, it's something MTV's making TV shows about, and then it's train wreck. All right? It's not what you want. And so I'm going to tell you, and this is just what I see in the Bible. Every relationship, every romance that I see in the Bible, the only fruitful ones are the ones that are formed when both people are ready to make a commitment. Because God has designed man and woman, the two, to become one. And what God joins together, that no one should separate. And that's not what's happening in junior high. I don't think you want that to happen in junior high. If you come up and ask me, should I date? I'm going to say, are you ready to get married? You think that they're the one? You're going to be like, you're an idiot, and you're never going to ask me advice again. But that's sad, because my advice is coming from the Scripture, and yours is coming from your friends or what you see on TV or on movies. And that's sad if that's what you're doing. So you want to know when you can find godly romance? Listen last week to find out who the person is that finds it. But the right time is this, when both your parents approve, when your caring, trusted friends approve, when God is a clear leader, and when you're ready to make a commitment. So here's your application. I want to ask you to do this. Nobody put me up to this. Your parents didn't call me and say, hey, I heard you're thinking about this topic. Tell my kid this. This is what I read in the Bible. This is what I see in people's lives and what I want you to hear. Wait on romance. It's your application. It's just wait, guys. Yeah, obviously, like, we do a whole other series on sex and the whole physical stuff of making out and holding hands and all the other things that come from, you know, when you put your arm around somebody all the way to when you have sex with them. We talk about that another time. If you need to hear that, you can go online and listen to it. We've done it before. I would tell you to wait on that for sure, but I would tell you to wait on romance also until both parents, yours and hers, approve of the relationship. Until you have caring friends, your small group leaders, your small group that says, this is a good idea. When God is the clear leader of it and when you're really ready to commit, I would just ask you to trust me. Just from my own personal experience and then from what I've seen from others, like any time that doesn't meet these four criteria ends up in pain and hurt for you or the other person or both. And I'm just trying to spare you of that. And I'm trying to help you find real, true, godly, rich, pure, last a lifetime romance. That's what I want for you. That's what God wants for you. That's what God has designed when He made you, male and female. That's the win. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, I think 14 is too young, but 16 is old enough. Because there's 14-year-olds that are more mature than 16-year-olds. Some of you guys are those. So I'm not going to give you an age. What I'm going to tell you is when you're mature enough to have all these criteria met, then you're mature enough to start dating and have relationships. I hope you're listening. I hope you paid attention. I hope you go home and read Genesis 24 and find out for yourself. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that every person in this room in their lifetime would find and discover the immense blessing that is godly romance, and that they would see how much truer and how much better it is even than a rooftop garden choreographed dance duet. It's better. You are better. You are better, God. And I pray that we would seek you in what is best through what you have created and what you have provided. And we know that you don't want to give us anything besides the very best. And so we trust you. I pray that these students would trust you and that they would seek you and that you would lead every relationship that they ever venture into, and that they would be surrounded by family and friends who love and encourage them, and that one day they're ready to make a commitment where they stand in front of those family and friends before you and make a pledge that lasts forever. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.